Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for the Friday, May 1st reading of East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. The first article today is from the Scottsdale Progress. It's titled, Borowski Blog Bashes Brigade Brush Off, by Tom Scanlon. Sasha Weller, president of the Scottsdale Firefighters Association, moderated the April 13th Scottsdale City Council Candidates Forum. His questions ranged from views on the controversial Old Town parking garage to views on Axon and Banner Health plan developments. Weller then asked something related to his job. Do you support a volunteer fire brigade? Bob Littlefield, Ethan Nolden, Barry Graham, Michelle Ugenti Rita, Solange Whitehead, Raul Zubia, Crystal Carroll, and Eric Sloan each answered the same way. No. It was well intended, Carroll added. Others noted variations of the theme. Firefighting should be left to the trained professionals. Hours later, an apparently furious Borowski pounded out a headline on her blog. Misinformation spreads like wildfire at Scottsdale Firefighters Association City Council debate. According to her entry at scottsdalemayor.com, I left the forum deeply disappointed, not because of disagreement, but because of how well-intentioned of a city proposal was inaccurately discharacterized. At the forum, a resident-driven idea to introduce a volunteer wildfire brigade for Scottsdale was presented in a way that suggested volunteers would be sent out to actively fight wildfires. That was never the proposal. Far from it. She said the idea was about preparedness, prevention, and education, enlisting the help of qualified, vetted by the Scottsdale Fire Department, members of our community who were interested in volunteering. The proposal was simple and responsible: enlist capable volunteers to assist with disseminating wildfire education to homeowners and HOAs, assist with clearing dry brush and other wildfire fuel mitigation, and creating defensible space around residences. Her tone was a bit more enthusiastic when she introduced the idea, however. At her February 26, 2025 State of the City event, Borowski reflected on the wild ride of her first month in office. She acknowledged losing the parking garage vote, but pledged to charge ahead on several ideas. We're going to move forward with establishing the Scottsdale Volunteer Fire Brigade, Borowski said. She said it would be patterned much like the sheriff's posse. And so all of you that always want to be a fireman or firewoman, you're going to have the opportunity. A few months later, City Manager Greg Caton and Scottsdale Fire Chief Chom Shannon jointly emailed Borowski and City Council with the subject line, Volunteer Use in Fire Department. The bottom line, not a good idea. According to the email, any movement toward volunteer-based operations would not only violate the city's obligation under the intergovernmental agreement, but would also risk exclusion from the system. The risks are clear. Volunteers cannot consistently meet the availability, training, or certification demands of a metropolitan community. Liability and insurance exposures would increase. Service delivery and response times would suffer, and the city's reputation as a modern, professional, and dependable public safety provider would be compromised. And that article was titled, Borowski Blog Bashes Brigade Brush Off. Scottsdale Doctor Says Lawsuit Was a Smear Attempt, by Tom Scanlon. 3 weeks after Copa Health claimed its former CEO abused her position and Copa's corporate credit card to fund a lavish personal lifestyle, Scottsdale Dr. Shar Najifi Piper filed an aggressive response. Najifi Piper's lawyers claim the suit is full of provably false accusations and was driven by the animus and callous disregard displayed by Copa's current board chairman and now new CEO David Day. On March 23rd, the Mesa-based Copa Health filed a suit against Najifi Piper, her husband, Brian Piper, and Roya Health, which Najifi Piper started while serving as COPA's head. COPA fired Najifi Piper in January. In stark contrast to the COPA suit portrait of a lackadaisical leader who siphoned her time and the company's resources to her new Roya Health, the response states Dr. Sharia Najifi Piper served successfully and faithfully as CEO of COPA Health Incorporated for 6+ years. Throughout that period, Dr. Najifi Piper led COPA to excellent growth and results while inspiring female and minority leadership in the healthcare space. According to Gabriel Aragon, an attorney with Coppersmith Brockelman, COPA repeatedly raised and rewarded her for her performance. The response claims COPA's true motive was to publicly smear Dr. Najifi Piper. COPA's claims are baseless and were brought for improper purposes, realities Dr. Najifi Piper looks forward to proving in the appropriate forum, Aragon wrote to Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Melissa Julian. The attorney attached a copy of Najifi Piper's contract, with an arbitration clause stating she and COPA waive the right to resolve any such dispute through a trial by jury or judge or administrative proceeding. Another attachment shows a 2025 text exchange, in which the current COPA CEO Day states, "You are a remarkable friend and CEO. It is a pleasure to serve you as your board chairman." Another 2025 day text calls Najifi Piper, "The best thing to ever happen to COPA. I'm a big fan." Claiming COPA wrongfully filed the lawsuit, Aragon demands COPA should be ordered to reimburse Dr. Najifi Piper for her attorney's fees and costs incurred. Background: Najifi Piper co-founded Roya, the Farsi word for dream, as an integrated behavioral health company serving children, families, and underserved communities across Arizona, according to Roya's website. COPA Health says it was a scheme, not a dream, and that its former chief executive officer overserved herself. According to the lawsuit, the former COPA CEO abused her position and COPA's corporate credit card to fund a lavish personal lifestyle. According to its website, COPA Health charges a sliding fee designed to make behavioral health and primary care services accessible to everyone, regardless of their financial situation or insurance status. Court documents show Najifi Piper lives on East Onyx Court near East Via Linda and Shea Boulevard. According to Zillow, her four-bedroom home is valued at $2.3 million, more than double what she paid for it in 2018. Her Roya bio describes Najifi Piper as a licensed psychologist by training and a child advocate by conviction. She spent more than 25 years building systems of care for the people most likely to fall through the cracks of the traditional healthcare system. According to her online biography, Najifi Piper holds a doctorate in psychology from Harold Abel School of Psychology and a bachelor's degree in psychology from Arizona State University. She's been in behavioral health leadership since 2008, with deep expertise in integrated care models, Medicaid, managed care, contract development, and building organizations that serve complex needs populations. Prior to founding Roya Health, she held a variety of senior leadership roles, acting as the president for complex care at Equity Health and the vice president for outpatient services at Southwest Behavioral. COPA charges. The suit claims Najifi Piper betrayed the trust placed in her by COPA's board of directors and the vulnerable populations COPA serves by orchestrating a years-long scheme to systematically plunder COPA's resources to fund Roya Health and her lavish lifestyle. The Mesa nonprofit paints a picture of Najifi Piper charging hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more, in personal expenses to COPA between 2021 and 2025, including luxury vacations, premium sports tickets, like the Super Bowl, designer goods, personal security details, limousine services, charitable donations to her children's school. Coppa also accuses Najiffy Piper of double-dipping and corporate backstabbing. While serving as Coppa's CEO, Najiffy Piper co-founded Roya Health, which in Arizona offers the same or similar services to those Coppa offers to the same or similar client base, and vie for the same or similar limited pool of donor and grant money as Coppa. Najiffy Piper and Roya Health then systematically pillaged Coppa's confidential business information, trade secrets, proprietary forms, policies and procedures, and employee expertise to build Roya at Coppa's expense and detriment. The amended suit claims Najiffy Piper's scheme involved multiple interconnected components. She allegedly also started Roya Holdings, an Arizona limited liability company, at the same address as Roya Health's Mesa, Arizona location. Biting the hand of the company feeding her big paychecks, the suit claims she pillaged Coppa's confidential business information, trade secrets, preparatory forms, policies and procedures, and employee expertise. Before the Coppa board fired her 3 months ago, Najiffy Piper deceived Coppa for upwards of 5 years, according to the filing. Najiffy Piper used a combination of misrepresentations, fraud, and consulting fees to keep her practices concealed from Coppa's board of directors, according to the lawsuit. When the board learned Najiffy Piper had been using Coppa's resources that should have been devoted to Coppa's mission of serving vulnerable populations, to fund her lifestyle, and had formed a competing business, Coppa's board of directors voted unanimously to terminate her employment. Coppa says it hired Najiffy Piper as CEO in 2019, compensating her around $700,000 per year plus a $20,000 car allowance. In September 2022, Najiffy Piper started Roya Health, which the suit alleges is a direct competitor of Coppa. She told board members and Coppa staff that Roya Health had a partnership or joint venture with Coppa, according to the lawsuit. And during the period when Najiffy Piper was building Roya Health, she typically showed up at Coppa's offices in Mesa once per week. Meanwhile, the suit claims Najiffy Piper ordered $374,725 in Arizona Cardinals football tickets on Coppa's tab, while the stated purpose was staff benefit team building. Najiffy Piper, her family, and their personal guests were the primary beneficiaries of these premium sporting events. Coppa's board did not authorize or approve these expenditures. She allegedly spent another $250,000 on dues, dinners, travel, and events for the Young President's Organization, and more than $200,000 on airfare and hotels. These travels included stays for herself and her family at resorts around the world, such as Le Royal Mansoub, Paris, France, the Ritz-Carlton in New Orleans, the Rimrock Resort Hotel in Banff, Canada, the Velas Resort in Mexico, the Sheraton in Hawaii, and Four Seasons Hotel in Beverly Hills, California. And that article was titled, Scottsdale Doctor Says Lawsuit Was a Smear Attempt. Scottsdale City Council waves in $9 million airport parking project, by Tom Scanlon. On April 14th, Scottsdale City Council capped more than a year of debate by approving an Old Town parking garage contract. A dozen citizens spoke passionately for or against, most against, before the city's elected officials joined the debate. After all the talk, a decisive 5-2 vote approved construction of the $18 million project. At the same meeting, City Council unanimously approved a $9 million project to add parking 10 miles due north. There was no debate nor even a formal presentation, as this knockdown project was lumped in with other items on the consent agenda. Where the First and Brown parking garage expansion into a garage was a lumbering freight train that started and stopped for 6 years after a 2019 bond approval, the plan to add parking across from the airport soared like a jet. At the March 18th Airport Advisory Commission meeting, Rick Welisbensky, the city's aviation director, said the city is exploring an opportunity to purchase land near the airport. Less than a month later, City Council approved the scheme. Purchase a two-story office building with 79 parking spaces across Airport Street from the airport, then demolish the building for more parking. Cost of the office and 1.5-acre property, $7.8 million. Cost of demolition and conversion into a parking lot, $1.1 million. Though renovation of the interior has been ongoing, the exterior appears sound. The structure was built in 1998 and is in good condition, according to a city-hired appraiser. But wait, there could be much, much more here at 15011 North 75th Street. In the near term, the site will be used for surface parking, with the potential for a structured parking facility in the future, Welisbensky noted in his agenda report. He noted the airport master plan update identified that additional space is necessary to meet both the existing and projected demand at the airport. The property and land was listed on loop.net with a sale price of $7.9 million. The March 25th valuation by Appraisal Technology Incorporated came in at that exact price. Welisbensky and city leaders apparently were eager to jump on the purchase, though there appeared to be little competition. Access Capital, Inspired Healthcare Capital, purchased the property less than a year ago for $8.4 million. The subject property is currently listed by John Stroud with Matthews Real Estate Investment Services for $7.9 million, according to the March 25th appraisal. Mr. Stroud stated that the property has been on the market for 2 months and has had no offers to date. Pros and cons. It can be said that this airport-related project flew under the radar, as the people who packed City Hall 12 days ago came there to fight or defend the Old Town parking plan. After the progress shared details of the airport purchase, some were skeptical, while others supported the plan as a solid landing. Ethan Nolden, for one, thinks it was a bad idea. "This is another example of our council being fiscally irresponsible," Nolden, who is running for city council, said. "I do not dispute the importance Scottsdale Airport has in our city's economy, but the numbers don't add up." He cited typical raw land purchases in the area at around $1 million per acre and typical office building purchases at around $200 per square foot. By his figuring, the city is overpaying by $2 million. Then spending another $1.1 million to demolish the building and reduce the value of the asset it just acquired, he complained, all for 200 parking spaces. He did grudgingly acknowledge a plan to lease the parking spaces, earning an estimated $82,500 per year in revenue. "So the lot will pay for itself in about 100 years, Nolden sarcastically noted. Councilman Barry Graham, who is running for re-election, defended the deal. "I voted to add additional parking spaces, funded through the Aviation Enterprise Fund, not the general fund, to ensure the stability of our airport's future," Graham said. By comparison, he said, the Axon plan for 1,300 living units nearby destabilizes the airport. The company's proposal to build apartments directly in the airport's flight path was denied by the Airport Advisory Commission because of safety concerns, he noted. Raul Zubia, another city council candidate, added his thumbs up to the deal. "I support this purchase," Zubia said. "It directly addresses the ongoing parking shortage at the Scottsdale Airpark. Expanding available space will reduce congestion, improve access, and support local businesses." He called the deal a smart first step toward developing a long-term parking garage solution to meet future demand. Same for Bob Littlefield, the former councilman running again. "The airport needs more parking, and this acquisition is being paid for out of airport funds, so I am okay with it," Littlefield commented on the deal approved by his wife, Councilwoman Kathy Littlefield. She's terming out this year, creating one of the three council seats up for re-election. Outsider View. David Smith is not running for city council. He has been there and done that. After being a city treasurer, he was elected to Scottsdale City Council in 2014, losing a re-election bid 4 years later. Though he stepped away from politics, Smith keeps a close eye on city affairs, particularly revolving around the airport. In 1986, Smith founded the Airpark News, now owned by Times Media Group, which also owns the Progress. Smith's sarcastic side was in high gear regarding the agenda report on the recent purchase, which states it will support operational needs and expand parking capacity for Scottsdale Airport and its users. Even a lay reader would marvel at how an office building will support operational needs, Smith remarked, since the airport plans to immediately demolish it. With a more serious tone, he challenged that the council report offers no business case supporting future growth projections, no assessment of current versus future projected parking needs. In short, no justification for additional parking at all, much less this particular 1.49 acres with an office building sitting on it. Smith also echoed Nolden's cynicism on revenue leasing parking spaces that will generate the hoped-for $82,500 per year, which does not even amount to a 1% return on the investment. And then there's that appraisal. Bizarrely, Smith said, the appraiser's fair market value of $7.9 million was based entirely on the value of the existing 21,664-square-foot office building, which the airport intends to demolish immediately after purchase. If the appraiser had been asked to develop a hypothetical fair market value of 1.49 acres of vacant land improvable to a surface parking lot, he would have come up with a much lower valuation. And that article was titled, Scottsdale City Council Waves in $9 Million Airport Project. Now for some Paradise Valley news from the town of Paradise Valley Independent. Group proposes plan to place historic church spire in Paradise Valley Town Complex. By Janet Perez. Except for the mountains, the historic spire at Ascension Lutheran Church was the highest structure in Paradise Valley for decades. That came to an end in 2024 when the church was raised to make room for luxury homes. The spire, however, lives to see another day. At a recent Paradise Valley Town Council study session, Vice Mayor Christine LaBelle, Historical Committee Chair Catherine Kaufman, and Hillside Building Committee Chair Scott Jarson, all members of Save the Spire, presented their plan to relocate the spire to the center of the town hall complex. We think it provides a perfect balance of visibility and identity, but it also remains well integrated within the existing structure of Town Hall in the campus environment, said Jarson, who is also president of Arizona Architecture, Jarson & Jarson Real Estate. It's an identity feature, and it's a centerpiece of art, architecture, and history of the town. In late 2023, Save the Spire was formed in an ultimately doomed effort to save the church, which was designed by William Wesley Peters, Frank Lloyd Wright's son-in-law and apprentice, and built in 1963. The group then turned its efforts to saving the 92-foot spire. The new owner of the land donated the funds to remove the spire, and Paradise Valley accepted ownership of it in June 2024. Under the proposed plan, the spire would sit atop a concrete plinth that mimics the pitched roof of Ascension Lutheran Church. With the plinth, the structure would be 100 feet tall. To minimize the height somewhat, Jarson said the group is proposing that the plinth be placed within the retention basin on site, which is almost 4 to 6 feet below grade. Overall, the height of the spire won't hit that 100 feet visibly, but closer to the 90 to 92 foot range, Jarson said. I think it's a really thoughtful placement that doesn't make this object overwhelm, but integrate. Along making proposals on location and design, Save the Spire is also endeavoring to raise an estimated $500,000, Jarson said, that's needed to complete the project. It's an evolving estimate, but so far we're in the $500,000 range, which we think that our group can successfully fund through contributions within the community, Jarson said. Councilmember Anna Thomason expressed concern that the structure was too close to neighboring properties and suggested the southwest corner of the complex as an alternative site. It's an open space, and if you're going to have a big, beautiful, dramatic piece of art, give it enough space around it and celebrate it, she said. Don't try to hide it in a recessed basin. Jarson said that by placing it in the center of the town complex, the spire anchors all the buildings on the campus site together. I think that's really the consideration that drove it to this location, he said. Just putting it in that southwest corner feels like it's a little bit orphaned. So far, the council has only approved a resolution to accept the spire and store it. Council still needs to vote on a resolution on whether to accept the plan. The ask, or the direction, sought today would be that the preferred location for the spire would be on town property, town manager Andrew Tring said. The majority of the council members at the study session signaled that they were in favor of the suggested location. The Ascension Lutheran Church was part of my childhood, and I'm very happy to see that the spire was preserved, Councilmember Ellen and Dean Keller said. I support moving forward with this. I think it would be a great pinpoint for our town. That's how I know how to get home. And that article was titled, Group Proposes Plan to Place Historic Church Spire in Paradise Valley Town Complex. You've been listening to the East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. All your favorite programming can be heard anytime on demand at sunsounds.org. I'm your volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. Have a great rest of your day.